I'd like to share a few ideas with you that will not only prove helpful as we look at them, but I know will come to your aid in a certain way down the line. I'm certain of it. I want you to understand that absolutely nothing stands in your way, spiritually speaking, except for what you don't know about yourself yet. Now, that idea alone, perhaps it doesn't have the proper weight inside of you yet. But I tell you that the only thing that's between you and your divine father, your divine mother, between you and God, is what you don't know about yourself. Which means that you don't have to look anywhere else. Now, on one hand, and I don't know how you receive an idea like that, on one hand, it's celebratory in nature. Wow. Everything I need to be a whole human being, to know the nature of love, of generosity, of compassion, to have true wisdom, it's all in there, in me. But the other side of this is, and you'll come to see this as you go, there are many, many parts of you that don't want you to know anything about them at all. I think it was one of the Godfrey twins. It was Jill or Tracy. They were two girls I went to grammar school with. And I used to... Did you spend a lot of time on the phone when you were, you know, in grammar school? Remember that? Just yakety-yak-yak-yak. Boys and girls, you know, they're just kind of warming up to each other. They're not quite sure exactly what's going on, but you know there's something happening. And I used to spend a lot of time on the phone at night with one of the twins. I don't remember which it was. And Jill or Tracy, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I'm old. What can I say? And I remember one time in the middle of one of the conversations, she said to me, I do remember this, I was complaining about something. And she said the following to me. She said, "Do you know that all you ever talk about is yourself?" Now, first of all, if someone poses a question to you like that, you really can't say anything because you're confirming what they've said. Right? There's no defending it. But the point here is that prior to her, that when she said that, I knew she was right. It was just as if she'd taken a perfect arrow and like that and went right into my heart. I'll tell you the truth. It's part of why I do what I did, what I do today. It's part of what brought me along this interior road. Because I was so stunned, not just that she said it, but that it was true about me, and that I didn't know it was true until she said it. And I think that's one of the staggering things about those kind of beautiful shocks. Most of us don't want shocks at all. One day, God willing, you will say to the divine, you'll say to God, whatever it is that I have to be shocked by, whatever it is that I need to see, whatever it is that I have to go through in order to draw nearer to you, bring it on. And you won't be bragging, because you'll know that God, that the divine, hears that prayer. When you make that prayer in certainty, with conviction, you can be sure that you're going to see what you need to see. That you're going to get a phone call from some moment, and it's going to say, "Did you know that you are that this is in you. And I also remember in the same moment that she said that, and I may have repeated something of this story, so if I had, forgive me, but it's germane to some new material that I want to present. I remember when I hung up, a vow set inside of me. It was so strong. And the vow was that I would never speak of myself again. I would never talk about I ever again. Because that was she said. Because every word, she said, everything starts with I, she said. Now, for the record, I didn't. I just stopped. But there can be no credit given to Guy. What happened was that a moment of light revealed something that had been completely buffered. And it's a proper word. The things that you don't know about yourself that are dark in you, that are debilitating, that are derogatory, that are defeating, you don't know they're in there because there are a subsequent corollary parts that exist to ensure that the substruct of that nature remains invisible. Because it is doing something unto itself and for itself, and it has no interest in anything revelatory taking place. Now I say this to you, and I want to tie it to what I said when I started, that that absolutely nothing stands between you and whatever it may be that you seek in the interior life, or for that matter, in any life, regardless of the path you tread, that isn't connected to what you have yet to understand about yourself. Now, when people hear that, they think to themselves, that's great, because I really want to understand things about myself. But there's a passage in the New Testament. Christ said, "Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven, who maketh the sun to shine on good and evil alike." Who maketh the sun to shine on good and evil alike. Can you understand that if you're a scientist, for instance, in the physical world, can you understand if you're a scientist and you're working on something, that you can't come upon bad knowledge? Do you understand that? I'm not saying that you want the knowledge that this didn't work. But if you're a true scientist, finding out this didn't work is a benefit to you. Shakespeare said, I think it was Shakespeare, "Nothing is good or bad save thinking make it so." There's no such thing as bad knowledge. You can't find bad knowledge. You agree or not? Then why do you resist negative self-knowledge? Why do you resist the knowledge that you're selfish? That you're a churning urn of burning funk, to quote James Taylor. That you're as self-centered as the day is long. That you're nothing but a masquerading prince of fear, trying to be strong, acting out like you have something or can do something when underneath everything shakes. And the answer is because something lives inside of you that has convinced you that it's bad to see what's bad. That's why. Your religious training, your spiritual upbringing in this pseudo in this psychopathic world has all but convinced you that as a child of light, as a lover of God, as a worshiper of silence and intelligence and compassion, that these conditions that appear from time to time as a result of an impact with a moment, that they're not really you. And that there's no point in looking at them or paying any attention to them. But the fact of the matter is that a man or a woman who is earnest in their wish to become a different kind of human being must understand that it is mandatory for individuals to be able to look and see that, yes, there is something. Look, this is bad. This is bad that I'm impatient. Impatience isn't because of you. Impatience belongs to a certain order of desire that has already predetermined what it wants, and anything that interferes with it is seen as an enemy. You fill in the blanks interiorly, whatever it is that one sees within themselves, and you'll begin to recognize that there are moments where you catch a small glimpse, a little bit of light illuminates a corner inside of you, and you see some quality there, and immediately there's a shutdown. There's immediate, that's what it is, an immediate discontinuation of the relationship that was momentarily revealed by that light. By that revelation. And I'm telling you that if you want to grow, if you want to know the truth, you have to know all the truth. Not just the parts that please you, not just the parts that console you. You have to know the whole of your nature. And it's a paradox. It's unbelievable, actually, and I'll close with this. The only way that you will ever be free of the whole of yourself that you're presently afraid of is when you absolutely know the whole of yourself without fear. As long as you fear any part of you, you are a slave to the part that protects it. And fear, whether seen or not, is a form of protecting a nature that produces that fear. So, what am I saying here? Repeat after me. There is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. It doesn't exist. Self-knowledge is the key to liberation. No other liberation exists without it. And the degree to which you refuse to know yourself in all the forms that present themselves as a result of life touching you, your refusal to receive, acknowledge, and look at what you are is refusing the liberation that comes if you simply agree to see yourself as you are.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts along with a host of life-changing information. That's guyfinley.org.